Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Top, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back into the Dynasty Happy Hour. It's me, Doug Eddy. I'm not here with my co-host, Tyler Gunther, Justin McCaslin, or Tim Keller. It's just me this week. Everyone else has been busy. Tim's not feeling well. It was originally supposed to be the Doug and Tim show, and then he's been sick the last couple of days. So I said, you know what, guys? Like, it's cool. We don't need to get a guest on. I will do a solo pod. I am very familiar with doing a solo pod, so I don't mind talking for 40 to 45 minutes or however long it might be. I do the Guru Game Guidance podcast, which can be found on the Trophy Time pod. So if you're into redraft or you're into start and sit pods, check that out. Much appreciated. You can find me on Twitter at TheFantasyFather. This week, I am bringing you some news, some injuries. There are some pretty good size ones and some really strange ones, to be honest, that a lot of people are upset about. I'm looking at you, Arizona Cardinals. and I'm going to be going over game by game. You're going to get the one-man observations from these games, which could be fun. I'm going to give you some of my thoughts from a dynasty value standpoint, what I saw today that I liked, what the things that caught my eye, both good and bad. I'm going to try to cover it all here in the next, hopefully under an hour. I'm home by myself currently. My wife is on business in Colorado. I've got the two kids for the next 4 days. They're upstairs sleeping, hoping they don't wake up in the middle of me recording because then I'll have to pause. Tyler will have to edit. It'll just be a pain in the butt. So I'm hoping you enjoy this Han Solo pod. And speaking of Solo, there's two movies with the name Solo. There's obviously the Star Wars saga, Han Solo one. And then if anyone remembers the first Solo movie with Mario Van Peebles, you get extra credit. So why don't you tweet at the Dynasty Happy Hour account and let us know of the two Solo movies, which one do you preferred? Because I'm curious. Because that Mario Van Peebles one, it's old. It's not great. But it was fun at the time. It had a very much a Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jean-Claude Van Damme action hero feel to it. If you haven't seen it, waste an hour and a half of your time and watch it and prepare to laugh. It's low-key, terrible, but a guilty pleasure none the same. All right, so let's get into this here. First, we've got some news this week. Antonio Brown is back in the news, not necessarily for a bad thing. I think it was Mike Giardi tweeted earlier this week that there's teams that might be looking to sign Antonio Brown after the trade deadline. So we all know Antonio Brown's going after his money. He's going after his $60 million from the Raiders. That's not looking good. He's going after the $10 million from the Patriots. That's probably looking better. I'm really interested to see if AB gets back in the league. He originally said that he was done with the NFL, but let's face it. He's a great talent. He looked good the 1 week he played with the Pats. And I think there's a need for him on multiple teams here in the NFL that could use a guy like him. 49ers, I'm looking at you. Yeah, I think he's going to come back in the league. If you've held on to him in Dynasty, congrats, I think. I have him in a couple of spots. I wasn't going to trade him for like a third-round pick, which is what I've seen him go for. Like, I think he's going to be back. Hopefully it's this year. If not, it's going to be next year. He's just too darn good. I know he's crazy. He's a pain in the neck, but I would rather have him on my team than a third round pick in 2020, I think, at this point. So I've held fast on Antonio Brown. I should have sold him once he signed with the Pats. We all know hindsight is 2020. What are you going to do? You know, it is what it is. So keep an eye out for AB news coming up here, because the trade deadline is in about 10 days, less than 10 days, I think. So there should be a lot of action going on. We've heard some rumors of AJ Green being on the trading block now that he's saying he's not going to be back until after the trade deadline. So we'll see if he gets moved. The Bengals, they lost again today. So just trade the man. Just get him off the team. Take what you can. Get rid of him. Get rid of Eifert. You know, these older veterans, just get some draft picks and rebuild that thing. But you know what? I'm not a GM, so don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just a guy on a podcast talking about news, injuries, and game descriptions. Don't listen to me at all. Bengals, you suck. All right, let's get to some injuries. We got some pretty big ones. So the first one of the day was Adam Thielen. He caught a touchdown, beautiful touchdown in the back of the end zone. And then kind of slid weird and hit the little padding wall that was behind the end zone. And he was ruled out with a hamstring injury. We don't know the severity of that yet. I believe he's going to be going in MRI on Monday. So keep an eye out for that. We saw Stephon Diggs pop off again. Kirk Cousins had another nice game. So we'll talk a little bit about that later. So if Thielen misses time, I'm loving some Stephon Diggs. Just putting that out there. So keep an eye on Thielen's hamstring. We had another hamstring for another receiver that didn't do much at all before he left. At least Thielen caught you a touchdown. Will Fuller, you probably had him in your lineups. He was in a good matchup against the Indianapolis Colts, and he left the game early with a hamstring. That's the frustrating part of owning Will Fuller in Dynasty. He always has some sort of leg issue. It's a hammy. It's an ACL. He's got tiny hands. Like, he's very frustrating to own. I wasn't rushing out and buying Will Fuller after that monumentous game. I was selling Will Fuller because that's the right move. Tyler and I sold Will Fuller straight up for N'Keal Harry. Still love that move, by the way. Will Fuller, hamstring injury. We'll get to the other details of that game coming up soon. We had a couple running back injuries. We had Kerryon Johnson leave the game for Detroit. He had a knee injury. I've already seen some Detroit articles about what are they going to do if Kerryon Johnson misses time. So that's a little concerning. Matt Patricia didn't give up much injury information because he's part of the Patriot coaching tree and they don't give up information on injured players. So I assume that he's probably going to get an MRI on Monday as well. Curious to see what happens there. Most of the snaps, I mean, you saw JD McKissick, you saw Ty Johnson. Maybe that's a landing spot for a trade for a running back. Maybe a Kenyon Drake goes there. Maybe a Rashad Penny goes there. Maybe they sign Jay Ajayi. I know CJ Anderson's available, I think. I don't think he signed with anybody. Maybe they go with CJ, that little bowling ball. Lots of options. So it's going to be really interesting to see the severity of Kerryon's injury and then what they do at the running back position, because Zach Zenner signed with the Saints. They can't get Zach Zenner back. God, he's been a Detroit Lion like five times, it feels like. I know people love Zach Zenner. He's like that. He's like the Christine Michael of white running backs. Let's put it that way. We also had Matt Breida with an injury. Color me shocked. Matt Breida injured every single week. He's a lot like Lamar Miller was last year. Like, he gets dinged up, he misses series, but Breida was running the ball pretty well in this game, much better than Tevin Coleman in the first half. Then he gets a head injury. I just read online on the Googles that Matt Breida he cleared concussion protocol, so that is good, but he did suffer an eye injury, so they're keeping an eye on that. Ironic. I didn't even mean to do that. Cool. The fun of solo potting. So Matt Breida, I assume he probably doesn't miss any time. Tevin Coleman looked okay. That game was an absolute sloppy mess. We'll cover that later. Not a lot of good things to say in that one. And then the biggest injury of the day that has really upset a lot of fantasy owners is David Johnson. So Adam Schefter tweets, David Johnson is expected to play. He's not inactive. He's dressed. Everyone's like, all right, get DJ into my lineups. We're good to go. He's going to be an RB1 against the New York Giants. And he gets one single carry and then doesn't see the field again. After the game, Cliff Kingsbury says, oh, yeah, you know, David Johnson, he was just kind of a break glass in case of emergency if we really needed him. Okay. Small rant. If you're not going to use the man, just make him inactive. Maybe it's because they don't have a great depth chart for the Cardinals. Very frustrating. I don't own David Johnson anywhere, so this didn't affect me, but I did own Chase Edmonds in a few spots. He's on the bench in one of my redraft leagues. My boy Tyler and I co-own a team. We put Chase Edmonds in because Alvin Kamara was out. That worked out nicely. And we were playing against the team with David Johnson. Sorry, Memphis. Love you, buddy. But that was pretty funny because they were right next to each other. When you saw the scores, you look across, you see 30 points from Chase Edmonds, and you see like less than a point from David Johnson. So it was pretty ironic. I may even screenshot it. And then my eliminator for Scott Fishbowl, I had Chase Edmonds. So he popped off, so I got all the Chase Edmonds points. And I started him in the UDPL league as well because Christian Kirk, who I thought was going to play, was a scratch. And I had some bye weeks. I didn't really have anybody else. It was either him or Gio Bernard. And I was like, you know what? Edmonds has scored the last couple weeks. The Bengals offense sucks. Let me put Chase Edmonds in, got the W in the UDPL. So feeling all the Chase Edmonds love. We'll go over a little bit more of his game later on. If you started Chase Edmonds, thumbs up. If you started David Johnson, you did the right thing. It just didn't work. The circumstances didn't work. We were bamboozled. We were hoodwinked by Cliff Kingsbury. No fault to David Johnson on this one. I don't think. It's not his fault. I still like DJ. Tight end injuries. We had an ankle injury for Delanie Walker. Obviously something to keep an eye on because he's had a series of ankle injuries. He missed time, I believe it was last year, and in the offseason with an ankle injury. Don't know which ankle it was. Delanie Walker, he had a great week one, but he's really hasn't done much in fantasy for you whatsoever. Jonnu Smith, though, 2017 tight ends. I own a lot of them. The most athletic tight end class we've ever seen. I own Jonnu in a bunch of spots. Every time that he's filled in for Walker, okay, not every time, but he's had some flashy plays. He can stretch the field and he gets yak. I like yak, especially out of tight ends. Not shaven yaks, but I like yak for tight ends. And Jonnu Smith tends to get a lot. You know, he averaged over 20 yards a catch today. Like, he's just an athletic freak. And I think he's the replacement for Delanie Walker. I think Delanie's done. They're going to move on from Delanie Walker. They're going to move on from Mariota. And Jonnu Smith, hopefully he's going to be the starting tight end there next year. Looking forward to that. Sorry, Delanie Walker. I think your time is over. And last but not least, probably the most important injury in all of fantasy football this week. Thursday night, Patrick Mahomes goes down with that knee. He dislocated his knee. They put it back in. Best case scenario is what happened. It looks like he's going to miss possibly a few weeks. Reports earlier today from Adam Schefter was that he could actually come back a little bit earlier than that. Matt Moore stepped in on Thursday night, didn't do a great job. We'll cover that a little bit as well when we recap that game. But yeah, some major, major injuries this week. I mean, you've got a wide receiver one, a wide receiver two, an RB one for all intents. Well, two RB ones because Carry On, I think a lot of people consider him a back end RB one. Braid is an RB two. Mahomes is the QB one for most people. So yeah, some big injuries this week. So hopefully, between the injuries and the bye weeks, you may have had some low-scoring teams out there. I know this one was a tough week for me, especially in Scott Fishbowl. You know, with the bye weeks this week, I didn't have any Nick Chubb. I didn't have any Christian McCaffrey. I didn't have Curtis Samuel. Like, just missing. I didn't have James Conner in another league. So just missing a lot of players. So it was really tough. It was a tough week for a lot of people. So hopefully you don't get too down. Hopefully you skipped a lot of those injuries. And then you're going to get healthy by week eight. That's what I'm hoping. We got some more bye weeks next week, so always fun to navigate those. The good thing is week seven was my heaviest bye week across my league, so now that it's over, I did pretty well. Now that it's over, I'm feeling good going forward. I don't have to worry quite as much. I'd rather have most of my players on a single bye week and punt the week as opposed to playing Russian roulette with my rosters for a 4 to 5 week stretch. Just my personal thing. And when I draft, whether it's a startup or redraft, I don't care about bye weeks. I just draft the player. I'll suck it up, and if I have to lose a week, I lose a week. No worries there. So, without further ado, let's get into some of these games. Let's start with the Thursday night game. So, we're going to start with the Chiefs-Broncos. You know, the Broncos, if they were ever going to beat the Chiefs, this was the week. You know, Mahomes has a touchdown pass to Mecole Hardman, then he gets injured. Broncos' hopes are looking up. What'd they do? They scored 6 freaking points. Kansas City Chiefs defense just sacked the crap out of Joe Flacco. He is trash. Woof. The biggest thing that I noticed in this game, obviously, is that Matt Moore isn't that great. So how does that affect the weapons around him? You know, he hit Tyreek Hill for a long touchdown. I still think that's something that's in play almost every week because he's Tyreek Hill. Maybe we get Sammy Watkins back next week. I mean, that's going to affect Sammy. It is going to affect Tyreek Hill just from an opportunity standpoint. My biggest concern in this game was Damian Williams. Like, okay, Damian Williams touches the ball twice. Like, it was ugly. Like, he didn't... Oh, no, he didn't. He touched the ball more than twice. He's touched it twice the week before. Am I getting my weeks confused? I can't even remember anymore. But Damian Williams didn't touch the ball hardly at all. LeSean McCoy has 12 carries for 64 yards. Looked pretty good. But Damian Williams, man, I'm hoping that if you own Damian Williams, that you sold him in the offseason. I traded him in one league for Curtis Samuel and a 2020 second round pick. So I'm feeling great about that deal right now. Sorry, Christopher. And then in one league that I had Damian Williams, I picked him up for pretty much free during the year last year. And then I held on to him. I had some trade offers. I could have traded him pretty much straight up for AJ Brown. And I was like, you know what? I kind of like Damian Williams. I've always liked him when he was with the Dolphins. He used to kill the Pats. Like, the offense is so good. Then they, you know, they pick up McCoy. Darrell Williams is playing snaps. There's Damian Williams. He just didn't look very good at all. So you got to hold because you can't sell him for anything right now. So you got to hold and just hope that he bounces back. But he might be a dead asset on your dynasty team, which sucks because you could have traded him for something good. Maybe a 2019 first in the offseason probably would have been doable from some people. So you just have to hold and see what happens. It doesn't look good, but like I said, just kind of wait and see. Other stuff on the Chiefs, you know, Travis Kelce, only one touchdown on the season. I think his stock, you know, he's still a tight end one every week, which is great because the receptions and yardage are there, but this isn't what we expected. And I've been saying it for a while now, like, if you can trade Travis Kelce in Dynasty, I would do it. He's almost 30 years old. He's going to be a declining asset if he's not already. So if there's someone out there, if you're not competing and you've got Travis Kelce on your roster, try and flip him for a 2020 first or maybe a player that you like and a pick. A lot of different combinations because Travis Kelce still does have a lot of name recognition. The consistency and the volume is there, just the touchdowns, especially if Matt Moore is going to play for the next 3 weeks. Like, it's not going to look great for Travis Kelce. So, say Travis Kelce scores a touchdown next week, like, just try to sell him. And that's what I would say. There's a lot of younger tight ends out there that are up and coming. We're going to talk about a few of them this week that I would try to target, you know, because of Travis Kelce's name recognition. So let's get to the Broncos. Not a lot to talk about here. It was pretty ugly. You know, Royce Freeman finally, his touchdown regression hits, and he scores a touchdown. Split the load pretty much evenly with Phillip Lindsay, although Freeman did get more passing work in this one. I still think Freeman is a pretty decent buy in Dynasty. I think he's had a quiet season. A lot of people don't realize, like, when they look at his numbers, that he's been like a low-end RB2 because he's getting volume in the passing game. Lindsay has had one really good game. He's kind of overachieved in the touchdown department. And let's be honest, Lindsay, we always know he's an injury risk. And then all of a sudden, boom, Royce Freeman is a 20-touch running back. So I would still send some offers out there for Royce Freeman, see if what you can get for him. Cortland Sutton looked good again, 6 receptions, 87 yards. He's just been captain consistent all the way through this season. He's, you know, he's topping 65 yards almost every week. He's getting the targets. So I'm loving some Cortland Sutton. I've got him in a couple leagues, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing out of him. I think he's, you know, definitely one of these year two wide receivers that is really starting to break out. So congrats if you got Cortland Sutton maybe in the mid-second in a Superflex league like myself last year. That's looking like a great investment. Other observations in this one, just Emmanuel Sanders is on the trading block, so it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. That opens up a spot for Deshaun Hamilton, I think, who did get some snaps on Thursday night. So if you're thinking a little bit ahead and you think Sanders is going to get moved, maybe throw out a low ball out there for Deshaun Hamilton. Maybe it's a mid to late third, maybe gets him. Maybe even a fourth if someone's just like, oh, this guy's not good, or, you know, they've got a roster that they're not winning with. Maybe you can poach Deshaun Hamilton for that. I don't know. Let me know what you think. So let's get to some of these other games. Oh, let's start all the way up here. All right, let's start with the Rams and the Falcons. So, oh, I forgot to mention, Matt Ryan got hurt because, of course, it's the year of QB injuries. I totally forgot about Matt Ryan. He was in a walking boot after the game. Dan Quinn, who for now is the head coach of the Falcons, maybe for another handful of hours, said that it doesn't appear to be serious with Matt Ryan. Matt Schaub took over, threw a touchdown to Austin Hooper. Cool, that saved Hooper's day. But the Rams really struggled. Not the Rams. The Falcons really struggled here against the Rams. Jalen Ramsey, his first game, he had the juice. Julio, I mean, he had a good game. 6 for 93, no touchdowns. He's been a bit of a disappointment, too. That was one of my observations. Calvin Ridley has a quiet game and a really good matchup. The Atlanta Falcons, man, they're 1-6. The offense didn't look good today. I'm probably buying Calvin Ridley if someone's down on him. Maybe I'm selling Julio Jones. I think the time, I say this every year, and then he's going to rip off some crazy run and then win people championships, maybe. Devonta Freeman gets ejected in this game for fighting Aaron Donald. Like, what are you doing? And if you haven't seen the video, like, Aaron Donald literally picks up Devonta Freeman by, like, the collar and moves him. Aaron Donald, my nickname for him has always been the Grizzly Bear because he just mauls people. It's never caught on. I did tweet it once, and I was hoping that that would catch on as a nickname because it's so freaking good. The Grizzly Bear just picks up Devonta Freeman and moves him. It's crazy. Ito Smith has an injury in this one, which I didn't cover. I'm terrible. Ito Smith has an injury. He gets carted off. He looks to have escaped anything major, which is good. Observations in this one, I mean, it was pretty standard. I mean, Jared Goff had, as expected, a good game, 268 and 2. Only 22 of 37, though. Todd Gurley, 18 for 41. Like, he struggled. He did have a beautiful over-the-shoulder touchdown catch, which was a beautiful throw from Jared Goff for the touchdown, which saved his fantasy day. Darrell Henderson sees, I think, 12 touches. Gurley gets 19. There was no Malcolm Brown in this game. Darrell Henderson, he's got the juice. He showed it a little bit last week. I didn't see too much of the tape this week, so I'm not going to say, oh, he looked great, because I honestly didn't see it. But Darrell Henderson is a guy that I would target if you can give up a... it's going to be hard to get him for, a mid-2020 second, because I think a lot of people still hold out hope, especially with Gurley being not right. I think people still hope that Darrell Henderson is going to be the thing there going forward. So maybe if you can get him for a mid to late 2020 second, I think I'd be okay with that. Gerald Everett has another touchdown. He's seeing the third most percentage of targets on that team. It's Cooper Kupp, it's Robert Woods, it's Gerald Everett, and then it's Brandon Cooks. I think Gerald Everett is for real. I invested in him in the offseason in a couple of tight end premium leagues. I actually traded with Tyler. Sorry, Tyler. I traded Tyler Jamon Moore and got back Gerald Everett. Again, invest in 2017 tight ends. Except for O.J. Howard. Oh, I'm kidding. He was on bye, so he scored about as many points as he does every week, which is zero. But Gerald Everett, part of that 2017 class with Jonnu Smith, George Kittle, O.J. Howard, like Adam Shaheen, who played some snaps today. I'm investing in those guys still when I can. Obviously, it's hard to invest in Kittle. I've already done that and got a bunch of him, which is great. So let's move on. We're going to go to the Bills and Dolphins. This one's a pretty easy one. For the Dolphins, Preston Williams had a nice game. Did have a couple of drops. He had a fumble. He had almost had a touchdown in the back of the end zone. The thing that impresses me most about Preston Williams is his footwork. He's making some, I would say, Keenan Allen-esque footwork catches along the sidelines and in the back of the end zone. I like Preston Williams a lot. Another player that, thanks to Pete Davidson, you can find him at Rotobon, fellow UDPL and Pigs 2 member. And I would say personal friend. We get along really well. And I've met him a handful of times. We play in another league together as well. Pete Davidson was a Preston Williams guy. I really like him. I've invested in him. He looks to be the future. Devontae Parker's a free agent at the end of the year. Albert Wilson's making big money, and he hasn't done really anything. Preston Williams, if you've got him on your taxi, awesome. Definitely hold on Preston Williams. The biggest thing out of this one from Miami was that Mark Walton, 14 carries for 66 yards. He gets some passing work. He outsnaps Kenyon Drake and Kalen Ballage. Ballage comes in and poaches another touchdown like he did last week. Lame. Like Ballage, goal line back. Who knew? Blech. Kenyon Drake, they've already publicly said that he's on the trading block. So I think Kenyon Drake does get moved. Mark Walton, if he's available in your dynasty leagues, go pick him up. I picked him up in a league that Tyler and I are co-owned together a few weeks ago when he was available. I was like, you know what? I'm seeing Walton starting to get snaps. Why don't I pick this guy up? That's the move in dynasty leagues. If you're paying attention to snap shares and target percentages and things of that nature, and you see names start to pop up on there and you're like, oh, all right, Mark Walton got 6 touches this week. If you got a roster spot, pick the guy up, because now it looks like Mark Walton might be a flex play in your lineup going forward. He's looking pretty good. He's playing the snaps. He's going to start scoring some touchdowns, I think. So my observation was Mark Walton, go and grab him if you don't already have him on your rosters. For the Bills, John Brown scores a touchdown. Looks good, 5 for 83. He's John Brown, the sneakiest 29-year-old receiver in the league. It seems like he's only been around for a few years, but he came into the league as a 25-year-old rookie, kind of like Cooper Kupp. Hey. But John Brown looked good. The biggest thing in this one, you know, they traded Zay Jones. So I'm like, all right, Robert Foster is going to get a chance. Josh Allen was talking him up this week. We saw what Robert Foster did at the end of season last year, and we were like, oh, it's Robert Foster. Like, I'm going to grab him in a best ball league. I have him in Dynasty. Like, I'm so pumped. And he was inactive. No Robert Foster today. Duke Williams plays. Isaiah McKenzie plays. Cole Beasley plays. Obviously, John Brown plays. I know there's another receiver I'm skipping out on that's on that Bills roster too. Man, I picked him up in Scott Fishbowl, and I've got egg on my face. I didn't start him, thankfully. But man, Robert Foster, inactive. You hate to see it. Devin Singletary returned in this one. It was still the majority of the carries were given to Frank Gore. Singletary, he's coming back from an injury. He looked just okay. Hold on, Singletary. I think he is the future there. Frank Gore talked him up a lot this week, saying he was the best young running back that he's ever played with. So high praise from the fantasy cockroach himself. So Devin Singletary, stronghold on that one. Or if you want to buy, send out some feelers. But I don't think many people are selling Singletary at this point. Let's move on. We got the Jaguars and the Bengals. Jaguars 27. Bengals suck. I mean, 17. Let's start with the Bengals. This was the Alex Erickson game. It was very interesting. So in the first half, Alex Erickson had 6 receptions for over 100 yards. The only other Bengal to have a catch was, I believe, Joe Mixon, and that was for negative yards. So it was literally the Alex Erickson show in the first half. Dalton ends with 276 yards somehow. He is starting so slow in games and then really pumping up the garbage time yardage at the end. But yeah, Alex Erickson, he's probably available in some of your dynasty leagues. I don't know if this is a trend. There's been rumors that they might trade him. Of course, the Patriots, I've heard, because you know what? White wide receiver. Why wouldn't the Patriots be in on him? But Alex Erickson's a guy that he might be available in a deeper dynasty league. Maybe scoop him up and see what you got. You never know. I did the same thing with Damian Willis earlier this year when the rookie was supposedly starting for AJ Green. He did start. He didn't do anything. Auden Tate has another decent week. I think he's the future there. He made a beautiful sideline catch. Just all hands stretched out. He's 6'5", so stretched out is like 7.5 feet. Really nice catch. To me, he could be the replacement for AJ Green in that offense. Now, I know he doesn't have the speed, but man, he looks good. AJ Green's a free agent. They could also trade him. So it could be Auden Tate, the starting outside receiver, eventually with John Ross and Tyler Boyd. You know, this offense has looked decent when John Ross was there. Now it's just bad. The offensive line is just so bad. And then Joe Mixon, he does score a short receiving touchdown, but pretty much got like a yard a carry, has nowhere to go. You're not selling Joe Mixon right now. You have to hold him. If you can buy low on Joe Mixon, definitely do it. I love the talent. You know, he led the AFC in rushing last year. Lest us not forget that. Cordy Glenn was suspended for a game because he was talking trash about the team, so they suspended him. They could have really used him because they need offensive linemen. I'm hoping that the Bengals pull a Minnesota and go, hey, you know what? Our offensive line stinks. We need to address it in the offseason, and we need to address it in the draft. So I'm hoping that's what happens with the Bengals. So Mixon, to me, is a screaming buy if you can get him. If someone's just like, you know what? I'm done with this guy. Go and get him. If I owned him, I'm holding. I'm not trading him unless someone offers me what I believe to be fair value for Mixon. So let's go to the Jaguars. You know, Minshew looked good in this game again. You know, he had a rough game last week against the Saints. Bounces back in this one. Plays pretty well. D.D. Westbrook, who was questionable, comes into this one, goes over 100 yards. D.J. Chark is quiet. Unfortunately, Josh Oliver didn't get any catches. This was his first game. I was hoping that he would make some noise. Seth DeValve was the starting tight end. We're going to have to wait on Josh Oliver's season, I'm afraid. Makes me mad. But Jaguars, the thing in this one, Chris Conley has been having some nice games. I know Tim, my co-host Tim Keller here at the Dynasty Happy Hour, was a big Chris Conley fan going into the season. You know, he famously had that Achilles injury where it rolled up on him on national television and looked gross. And then he signs with the Jags, and he had a nice long reception in this one. And he had a touchdown, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, Chris Conley, another guy that's, if you're in a shallow dynasty league, he might be available for you. You know, I've always liked the talent. Tim's always been a big fan. So just keep that name in mind. And of course, Leonard Fournette, bell cow, 29 carries, 131 yards, just an absolute stud this season. The touchdowns are going to hit. I think they're going to come in bunches. Like all of a sudden, Fournette's going to have a 3-touchdown game and it's going to be glorious. So if you bought Leonard Fournette in the offseason, congrats. If you own him, I don't think I'm selling him. This usage is amazing. He's looking healthy. He's running hard. So, yeah, all the Leonard Fournette. All right, let's move on to the Vikings against the Lions. The Vikings win this one 42-30. Lots of passing in this one. Both Matthew Stafford and Kirk Cousins have four touchdowns. That selfish son of a Marvin Jones takes all four touchdowns. I'm a Kenny Golladay owner, and I'm like, yo, throw it to Kenny. No? Cool. All right, Marvin Jones again? Awesome. All right, I own Hawkinson in some leagues. All right, cool. Marvin Jones. Oh, awesome. Oh, Marvin Jones again. This is what Marvin Jones does. He has these big games. I'm not a Marvin Jones fan. I really never have been. So if you have him, cool. Awesome. He got your points today if you started him. If not, c'est la vie. Other than that, the Lions, Stafford has been having a solid season. I think he's a solid QB2 in Superflex leagues. I've always thought that. I've always liked the talent. You know, Stafford's been looking pretty darn good. I talked about the Kerryon Johnson injury earlier and what that means, so we won't go too much into that. For the Vikings, obviously we talked about the Thielen injury as well, but Stephon Diggs, second straight week, over 140 receiving yards. I wouldn't say he dropped a touchdown in this one. There was a ball that he should have caught for a touchdown, which he went to Twitter and publicly apologized for. What? Like, come on. You're better than that. You don't need to apologize for that. But Stephon Diggs, especially if Adam Thielen's missing time, like, he's going to be a target monster, and you can, you know, after a slow start this season, you can start him safely every single week. If you bought low on Stephon Diggs, nice work on that. The talent always wins out. That's what I try to think of in Dynasty, is that if there's guys that I think are talented that I like, I always think it wins out. There's guys like right now, like, I'll talk about one. You know what? I'll sneak peek it. Dante Pettis. Okay. I think the talent's going to win out there eventually. Am I buying Dante Pettis? Yeah, because he's super cheap right now. So, yes, I'm trying to get him. A few weeks ago, you could have got Stephon Diggs for a song. I saw some trades on Twitter, and I was like, wow, these people are giving up on Diggs way too easily. And now looks what's happened. He's had two great weeks in a row. Yeah, it happens. And for Minnesota, how can we not talk about Dalvin Cook? Tyler and I taking victory laps. Essen Halal on Twitter, doing victory laps, and Josh Trotta, you can put him in there too, doing victory laps on Dalvin Cook. 25 more carries, 142 yards, two tutties. He's gone over 100 yards in 5 out of the 7 games. He's scored in 6 out of the 7 games. Absolute stud. One of my hot takes on the Trophy Time pod was Dalvin Cook will finish as a top 5 running back. That hot take is looking pretty dang good. So love me some Dalvin. Always have, always will. Go Noles. And then Kirk Cousins, this might be, I don't want to say the last good game he has in a while, but he's had two really good games in a row. That schedule starts to tighten up a little bit. So I'm skeptical on Cousins going forward, but he has looked pretty good. All right, let's get to the Packers giving the beatdown to the Raiders. Aaron Rodgers, still no Davante Adams. He's still out. Doesn't matter. You know, Geronimo Allison, Marquez Valdez-Scantling were game-time decisions. They both score a touchdown in this one. Marquez Valdez-Scantling goes 2 for 133 in a touchdown. Like, cool. Like, if you can sell him, go right ahead. I don't think MVS is anything special. Same thing with Geronimo Allison. Like, I'm good. Jimmy Graham has a nice game here. Again, so if you're not contending and there's a team that needs a tight end because there's been some injuries, sell Jimmy Graham. Do it now. Aaron Rodgers absolutely balls out. 4 touchdowns, gets 1 on the ground. So he has 5 touchdowns and then has 1 on the ground. So he has a 6-touchdown game, one of his best performances of his career. I actually benched Rodgers in a super flex league because I started Dak and I started Deshaun Watson. So that's 70 points in this league on the bench. Good thing is, I still won, it looks like. So kind of kicking myself for that. But, I mean, Rodgers hasn't looked good. And then today, he looks amazeballs. Aaron Jones has a beautiful receiving touchdown, adjusts in the end zone. I'm still team Aaron Jones. Jamal Williams scores 1-2. Boo. I still think Jamal Williams is just a guy. Aaron Jones, if people think that Williams is the guy, try and buy Aaron Jones, please. I know John Bosch, friend of the pod, put out a tweet earlier this week. He sent me an offer for Aaron Jones in a league, and I kind of chuckled. I am one of the original Aaron Jones stans. Search DeFantasy Father and Aaron Jones. You'll see. I have Aaron Jones almost everywhere. And I was like, John, I can't sell Touchdown Bay. Like, I just can't do it. And he's like, I figured you wouldn't do it. I was like, yeah, you know me too well. What can I say? Let's go to the Raiders. Yeah, they didn't really have anyone to throw to, but the tight ends, like, Darren Waller gets paid this week. So he's going to be a Raider for the next 3 seasons. Gets $9 million per, has 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards. had another touchdown called back by penalty. Like, Darren Waller looked great. I do want to talk a little bit about Foster Moreau. So Foster Moreau is a guy that Tyler's been on. In my home Dynasty League, I was able to put in for him last week and get him. It's a 50-man roster, IDP. I already own Dawson Knox, Kahale Waring. Like, I've got a ton of rookie tight ends, Josh Oliver in this league. The only one I don't have is really Irv Smith and then Hockenson and Fant, but I don't want Fant anyway. Bust for now. So I put in for Foster Moreau. He does score a touchdown here, and man, he looks good. I think there's enough room for Foster Moreau to be a thing, as well as Darren Waller. They literally have nothing at receiver. Tyrell Williams is still hurt. J.J. Nelson, they let go. They signed Zay Jones. He was inactive in this game, which was a bummer because I thought he would get peppered with targets. Like, I picked him up in a redraft league because I was desperate because I had Josh Gordon was out, and I had bye weeks with Curtis Samuel, and A.J. Green is still hurt. I don't want to talk about it. So I picked up Zay Jones, and he was out. And it's a continuously running waiver league, so I couldn't pick anybody up. So I had to eat a bagel in that one. And it wasn't a good-tasting bagel, I'll tell you that much. But yeah, Darren Waller, I've sold him in a couple leagues to what I believe I sold high, $300 in bar tab. I sold him for the equivalent of $150 in Preston Williams and Pigs 2. Thought that was a good deal. He is 27 years old. You know, I'm just kind of hedging my bets here. Like, I own him in a few leagues. I'm hedging my bets that he's either the thing or he's Gary Barnage. So sometimes when you have a lot of ownership, you got to hedge your bets, and that's what I've done. But yeah, Foster Moreau, I like him quite a bit. And then Josh Jacobs has another nice game. 21 carries for 124. Didn't score a touchdown. That's okay. Josh Jacobs, the best rookie running back this year. We'll talk about David Montgomery. We'll talk a little bit about Miles Sanders. But man, Josh Jacobs is looking the part. He is looking really, really good. So again, congrats if you own some Josh Jacobs on Dem rosters. Let's move on to the Colts and the Texans. Not much here for the Colts. Eric Ebron has a really acrobatic touchdown. Marlon Mack kind of gets swallowed up. He doesn't do a lot. Naheem Hines is quiet. T.Y. Hilton has a touchdown, short one. Zach Pascal, 6 receptions for 106 and 2 touchdowns. Like, the opportunities are there. There's no Paris Campbell. Deion Kane, I don't know if he's going to be a thing. Chester Rogers. Like, Zach Pascal's the number 2 receiver in that offense for all intents and purposes. And he might be available in some dynasty leagues. So I would check for Zach Pascal. Add him. He looks pretty good. He might not be a sexy prospect, but as Matt Kelly tweeted out, like, you know what? The opportunity's there. You don't have to be sexy to be good in fantasy. So maybe Zach Pascal's the dude. Who knows? He scored, I think, in 2 or 3 straight weeks. So obviously Brissett likes him. Brissett, 4 touchdowns here. Yeah, if you got Brissett in a Superflex league, like, he is an awesome QB2 right now. So really liking Jacoby Brissett going forward, especially when he starts to get, you know, the Paris Campbells back and things like that. I think he's going to be even better. On the Texans side, I mean, yeah, Will Fuller was hurt. DeAndre Hopkins finally finds the end zone again. He had a typical DeAndre Hopkins day, finally, after not scoring since week 1 and frustrating everybody. Kenny Stills is back in this one. He went over 100 yards, I believe, or just close to it. Kiki QT has a nice day. I mean, they were behind in this game a lot, so of course there was a lot of passing volume. You know, we didn't see much from Carlos Hyde or Duke Johnson. Really not a lot to report there. It was pretty standard fare for the Texans. Deshaun Watson has a nice game, but not a great game like we've seen in the last couple of weeks. So I don't have too much on the Texans. Darren Fells, no longer a thing. He's 33 years old. I saw people picking him up in dynasty leagues, and maybe it's because they needed like a plug-and-play tight end. But yeah, Darren Fells, not a thing. Jordan Akins was getting some catches. I just really want Kahale Waring to either come back this year or be the starting tight end next year, because I think a good tight end in this offense could be an absolute monster. So I guess my lesson in this one would be, if Kahale Waring is out there, you can probably get him dirt cheap. 4th round pick, maybe. Maybe late 3rd. I guess probably a 4th. He got dropped in Pigs 2, which is a tight end premium league, and I scooped him up for like $3 off the waiver wire and put him on my taxi. So that's the kind of move I'm looking for the future. I really like this tight end rookie class. You know, we already talked about Foster Moreau. I didn't really talk about Dawson Knox earlier, but he's flashed. Kahale Waring's got some potential. Like, we know Hockenson and Fant. Josh Oliver has a great athletic profile and really great college production. So I'm trying to buy, just like I did for 2017 tight ends, I'm kind of trying to buy these 2019 tight ends, with the exception of Noah Fant. I just have not been impressed whatsoever. And maybe it's, you know, the year 3 that Noah Fant hits, but I'm not too impressed. I'm going to take a sip of water because my mouth is dry because I've been talking for a half an hour straight. So please hold while I have a sip of water. That was refreshing. I think I'm good to go. All right, let's go to the next game. We got the Cardinals against the Giants. Cardinals, they're 3-3-1 all of a sudden. What? Giants, they lose. They're 2-5, whatever. Let's talk a little bit about the Cardinals. So obviously this was the big Chase Edmonds game. 27 carries, 126 yards, 3 tutties for the product out of Fordham University, Chase Edmonds. Now, we've said it for a while. Another hot take I had. I don't know if it, maybe it was on Dynasty Happy Hour. I can't remember. I do a couple hot take episodes. Was that Chase Edmonds will be a weekly flex during the season. And part of my thought process was because the Cardinals are going to run so many plays, like David Johnson can't be on the field for 75, 80 plays. Obviously, he has injury risk too. Chase Edmonds, he scored 3 weeks in a row, two of those weeks with David Johnson on the field. So he's been a flex play. Now with this happening, like Chase Edmonds emerges, I wouldn't say out of nowhere. People in the know, I grabbed Chase Edmonds in a lot of late third rounds and rookie drafts because of the lack of depth behind David Johnson. And I like the prospect in Chase Edmonds. He's great catching the ball out of the backfield. You know, he showed today like 27 carries. I think he touched the ball 30 times. Like, yeah, that's what you want in today's NFL if you can get it. Like, everyone wants a bell cow. I'm not saying Chase Edmonds is that guy every week, but performances like this give you hope. So Chase Edmonds, you know, a lot of people might say, oh, turn around and sell him. Like, I'm just holding Chase Edmonds. Like, you can't buy him now because his price is going to be through the roof. If you sell him, unless you get like a 2020 first from some crazy owner, like I would sell him for that. But other than that, I'm just holding it and see what happens with DJ. People forget that DJ is 27 years old. He's had injuries in the last few years. Like, I like the player David Johnson, but he hasn't been the same since the first 2 years that we saw him when in his rookie year when he scored 12 touchdowns, and then the next year he scores 20. And then it's been kind of touch and go with David Johnson. This offensive line isn't great, but Chase Edmonds, man, he looked good this week. Outside of that, Kyler Murray doesn't have any touchdowns. Be patient with Kyler Murray. He'll be just fine. Andy Isabella actually touched the ball twice. Cool. That draft pick may take a little bit to stew. So on that, if you can buy Andy Isabella cheap, I would say go do it. If you can buy Andy Isabella for a third, I would do that. Giants, Saquon Barkley scores a touchdown. He did leave the game briefly, but came back. Looks like he tweaked that ankle, but he appeared to be fine. Evan Ingram in an absolute smash spot. Everyone knows the Cardinals give up touchdowns to tight ends. Everyone played him in DFS, and Evan Ingram has one catch for 5 yards. What is going on? It's okay. Still trust Evan Ingram. Golden Tate has a nice game. Not really much to talk about from a dynasty perspective. No one really emerged in this one. Daniel Jones plays okay. I'm still not a huge Daniel Jones guy, but the opportunity's there. Maybe he becomes a thing. Sterling Shepard was out in this game with a concussion. Let's move on. This next game is not going to take long. The 49ers, the undefeated San Francisco 49ers, moved to 6-0. And they win 9-0 against the Redskins. Redskins, McLaurin has one catch. I only had to start him because I was desperate because of bye weeks. No one else was starting McLaurin this week in a really tough matchup if you didn't have to. Case Keenum, Adrian Peterson, cool. 20 carries for 81 yards. Darius Geis might start practicing in a limited fashion soon. So I would say that that's my feedback is, if you haven't already made some offers for Darius Geis, you should have done it 2 weeks ago. If you haven't, your window to buy Darius Geis is still open. Go and do it. If maybe you can give up 2 seconds to get Darius Geis. I think a 2020 first is probably a little bit of an overpay with a guy coming off an ACL and then an MCL injury. But if you can give up maybe a 2020 second and a 2021 second and you get that owner to bite, love that deal. Love that deal if you can do it. Let's stop talking Redskins because they bad. Niners, Jimmy G. This game was a sloppy mess. Like sloppy, sloppy. Like drunk girl on a Saturday night sloppy. It was bad. Garoppolo. I started him in some Superflex leagues. Cool. We already talked about Breida being injured. Tevin Coleman gets 20 carries for 60 yards. It was sloppy. Pettis gets nothing. George Kittle doesn't do much at all. Yeah. I'm just waiting for a wide receiver to emerge. If there's a team that can trade for a wide receiver or sign Antonio Brown, can it just be the San Francisco 49ers? Go trade for AJ Green. Go get an alpha receiver for this offense. It's what it needs. Kendrick Bourne has 3 for 69. He's not that guy. Deebo Samuel is not that alpha. I like him. Pettis, not that alpha type. Like him too. I already talked about, like, hey, buy Dante Pettis. I think you can probably get him for a third round pick in leagues right now because everyone's like, wow, another no catch performance from Pettis. WTF. I'm sick of this guy, which is exactly why you need to go buy him. I love the talent. I still think he can be a thing. Go get Dante Pettis. Let's move on. Now we're in the 4 o'clock games. These games were okay. On paper, I was like, oh, these games are going to be ugly. And they kind of low-key were. Chargers, Titans. Oh, boy. Okay. Let's start with the Chargers. Melvin Gordon literally coughs up the rock. They're trying to score the game-winning touchdown. He fumbles it at the one-inch line, and the Chargers lose in only a fashion the Chargers know how to lose in. Every tight game I've ever seen the Chargers play in, maybe ever, they always find a way to lose it. They're so bad. 2-5 this year, like a team that was a contender for the Super Bowl last year. I know they've had injuries, but good God. I think Phillip Rivers, he plays okay in this one. 2 touchdowns. Austin Eckler, I mean, let's talk about Melvin Gordon actually for a minute. 2 yards a carry is what he's averaged since he's returned. Hasn't done much in the passing game. His dynasty value is kind of gone down the toilet. I don't think they re-sign him. I think he signs with a new team next year. You got to hold Melvin Gordon. I don't think anyone's going to sell him low. So hold on to Melvin Gordon. See where he signs next year. Ride it out this year. It may suck. But his, I mean, dynasty startups, he was a late first, early second. People were really high on Melvin Gordon. You know, he had a lot of touchdowns last year. Yeah. Austin Eckler, though, the passing, 7 receptions, 118 and a touchdown for Austin Eckler. He had that nice wheel route up the sideline, looked really, really good. Eckler's a strong flex play every week. Maybe he's the future. That offense runs better with Austin Eckler. There, I said it. Maybe he's the future guy there in Los Angeles. I don't know. It was just ugly. Keenan Allen doesn't score again for another week. He's quiet. Hunter Henry has a nice game again. The Chargers are just pissing me off. And then the Titans, Corey Davis. Looks like he's got some life with Ryan Tannehill behind the helm. You know, I thought Corey Davis was in for a down game with Casey Hayward on him, but he scores a touchdown, looks pretty good doing it. A.J. Brown had a few receptions for some long yardage. And then Derrick Henry, 22 carries for 90 yards and a touchdown. He's Derrick Henry. I mean, he's going to get all the yards. Deion Lewis is not a thing. Feel free to cut him like whenever you want on your dynasty rosters. Like, he is just hot garbage, not getting an opportunity. He's on the wrong side of the running back age curve. So Deion Lewis, peace out. It's Derrick Henry season. It has been all year. And Henry has another solid game. It's been a while since he's had a big, big game. So I think there's one brewing for Derrick Henry. And then we talked about Jonnu Smith. So I think Jonnu Smith, if you have a tight end premium league, if you believe in the talent of Jonnu Smith, go and get him if you don't already own him. I think he is the replacement for Delanie Walker when Delanie Walker is all done. And that could be the end of this year. He's making big money. I know they extended him, but I think they cut bait with Delanie Walker. He's 35 years old. Old reliable. Time to put him in the junkyard, I think, unfortunately. Sorry. All right, let's go to Saints-Bears. This one's a pretty... Well, this one's not overly brief. So let's start with the Saints. No Alvin Kamara. Latavius Murray. You probably started him. 27 carries, 119, 2 TDs for Latavius. Bridgewater looks good again, but I think Breeze is going to be back soon. I guess the move that I would make if I own Latavius in Dynasty would be find the Alvin Kamara owner and try to sell high on Latavius. Maybe you can get a 2020 second for Latavius Murray. I would take that and run if you could. I mean, Latavius is going to have a nice game here or there when the opportunity's there. I don't think Kamara is going to miss much more time. So try to sell Latavius to the Kamara owner. That's the move you want to make this week. Other Saints, Jared Cook missed this game. Michael Thomas did Michael Thomas things, 9 for 131. He didn't score. There's just not a lot to like on the Saints from a dynasty perspective. Traquan Smith is still out. The Saints need a number two receiver, like, so bad. You know, Ted Ginn is not the answer. Austin Carr was catching passes. They used Taysom Hill. Like, the Saints could use a wide receiver. They just don't have the payroll to go and trade for one, I don't think. So they'll have to draft one. It'll be interesting to see what they do next year. But they're pretty easy to assess on a week-to-week basis. And then the Bears, oh, man, so ugly. It went into the fourth quarter before I think they broke 100 yards. Tariq Cohen, the 9 receptions for 19 yards. Like, the ugliest stat line you've seen. PPR leagues, he scores you double-digit points, and you're like, I feel gross. Like, I'm going to literally clean up mom's spaghetti all over my sweater. Shout out to Eminem. Just gross. David Montgomery gets two touches. They come out of the bye week. This game was close up until halftime. The Bears come out of the bye week. They get Mitch Trubisky back. Cool. They literally give David Montgomery two carries. Sound the alarm on David Montgomery. I was never a huge fan of the talent coming out. I thought he was like okay. I was never like, ooh, I got to get David Montgomery. Like, he's all right. I don't know. I guess if you're a David Montgomery fan, this gives you a great buy now window. I saw a Twitter poll earlier, like a 2020 second could probably get you David Montgomery right now. There's a lot of people that are like, I use the 102, the 103, the 104 on this guy, and they're just like, the usage isn't there. He doesn't look great. He did have a fumble in this game. A lot of bad things. The Bears offense is broken. The only player that looked great for the Bears today was Allen Robinson. Man, he is back. You know, I said it was the return of Allen Robinson to wide receiver one. He scores a late touchdown in garbage time. The Bears are down a ton. They made this one a lot closer than it actually was. But Robinson had some clean breaks off the line. That touchdown, the break that he got off of that and the catch was just vintage Allen Robinson. It looked great. I'm still investing in Allen Robinson. I know that the quarterback situation isn't great, but the target share is there, and he's looking really, really good. So go get you Allen Robinson. Absolutely. Anthony Miller looked good in this one. He's finally getting over that shoulder injury. He's not wearing the sling anymore. He's starting to look healthier and healthier. Anthony Miller was a guy that you could get for a third-round pick easily. I still think you probably could. So along with Dante Pettis, those two, when we talk about sophomore receivers, I'm going after those guys still. Again, believe in the talent. I think it rises to the top. So I have not given up on Anthony Miller, and I've not given up on Dante Pettis. David Montgomery, I might have given up on you. Maybe they should have kept Jordan Howard. Whoa, wait, don't throw things at me. Howard looks good. Hey, whoa, hey, stop it. Stop it. That's right. I said they should have kept Jordan Howard. Anywho, Adam Shaheen sighting. 2017 tight end. Just saying, buy them all. Got to catch them all. They're like Pokemons. Get all those 2017 tight ends. Get all those 2019 tight ends. 2018 tight ends, go away. You're trash. I don't want to talk to you. All right, let's get to the Ravens and the Seahawks. Lots of good stuff. Actually, not really. The Seahawks, Russell Wilson throws his first interception of the year, and it's a pick six. That was not good. Only 20 of 41 for Russ today. The MVP having a tough game at home. The Ravens come in. Lamar Jackson, 14 for 116 and a tutty. He is the safest floor quarterback we have in fantasy. He's rushing for over 100 yards. He's throwing for 150-plus yards. I mean, he's literally at 300 yards of offense every week. He scores a rushing touchdown in this one. The defense did a lot of work. They had the pick six, Marlon Humphrey. DK Metcalf was trying to tuck the ball away to run up field. Just drops it. Marlon Humphrey scoops it up, goes in for the score. So the Ravens did most of the scoring in this one. Mark Ingram was quiet. Let's go to the Ravens. Mark Andrews gets a lot of targets. He gets some receiving yards, but he did have a lot of drops in this one. Rough game for him. It's really Lamar and log out, you know, this week. Ingram doesn't get a ton of work. Gus Edwards got some work. I don't know. I'm not really buying anyone in that backfield except for Justice Hill. That's who I'm buying. That's the talent that I want to get. We talk about it almost every week. Go get Justice Hill. Absolutely. He's going to pop soon. I feel it. Maybe not soon, but at some point this year, Justice Hill is going to pop, and I'm going to be like, yes. So I'm still going after Justice Hill, and I'm holding if I own him. Yeah, receivers, I mean, Hollywood Brown missed this one. Miles Boykin had an early long play. I still like Miles Boykin. I know Tyler, because he's a Notre Dame fan, loves him some Miles Boykin as well. Tyler, stop. Stop with the Notre Dame. Will Fuller, CJ Proceis, Deshaun Kizer, Joe Montana, Jerome Bettis, Reggie Brooks, all these Notre Dame guys. Just stop. Let's go to the Seahawks. Little concerning in this one. Chris Carson gets the full workload. Cool. We like Chris Carson here. We like him as a dynasty buy if you can get him. I sold him for Arcega Whiteside in 2021 first and a 2024th. I was cool with that. I had the running back depth. Cool. Rashad Penny, active in this one. He was inactive last week. He gets two touches. They spent a first-round pick on Rashad Penny. Mike Clay tweeted out earlier that maybe he thinks Rashad Penny might be dealt at the trading deadline. I could totally see that. The Seahawks have needs at tight end. They have needs on defense and offensive line. Maybe they trade Rashad Penny and they say, you know what? Like, we drafted him last year in the first round. We made a mistake. Let's move on. They're not using him. They've got CJ Procise. Shout out to Tyler. Kidding. But they've got other backs that they could use in that same role. I've never been a big Penny guy. You know, he came from a system that made Danelle Pumphrey look awesome. Danelle Pumphrey isn't in the league right now. He hung on with the Eagles for 2 years, never did anything. Penny, to me, was he a system back? That was always my concern. His measurables were good. He's flashed at times in the NFL. I just don't know if he's ever going to be that guy that people were spending a top five dynasty pick on last year. So I guess this is a great window to buy Rashad Penny. If you like the talent, you can get him dirt cheap right now. He's not playing at all for Seattle, and he might get traded. So maybe send some offers for Rashad Penny, see what you can get. I wouldn't hate you for doing that. DK Metcalf had a couple nice catches, and then he has that fumble. I still like DK. You know, he's going to have some touchdown regression positively. Tyler Lockett has a touchdown because he's Tyler Lockett and he's good. Tight end, they started Jacob Hollister. Luke Wilson was a popular pickup. Hollister is a former Patriot legend. They traded to the Seahawks for like a 7th-round pick. Athletic, maybe he's a guy in tight end premium leagues that you can stash. Maybe he ends up being the starter if they don't trade for somebody. Who knows? But keep an eye on Jacob Hollister. Our last game is the one that's currently being played right now. It's the Cowboys against the Eagles. I did see the first half of this game, so I will tell you that Zeke looked like he's got a little bit more juice, a little bit more oomph, as Tyler would put it, in his step. 21 carries for 95 yards. They're in the fourth quarter. He's got a touchdown. He's been getting some work in the passing game. Prescott's had a nice game here. Amari's over 100 yards. Pretty standard Cowboys stuff. Let's talk some Eagles. Dallas Goedert had a touchdown in this one. I started him in DraftKings this week because I was like, you know what? Goddard's been playing more and more snaps. Had a beautiful catch over the top of Leighton Van Der Esch. I've been beating the drum all offseason to sell Zach Ertz. He's making a ton of money. Goddard's already there. Goddard's snaps are going up. Goddard's scoring touchdowns. Ertz is not. It's time to sell Zach Ertz, and I think it's time to cash out on him, and it's time to cash out on Travis Kelce. Maybe a hot take. Might be. But that's what I'm doing, and I'm trying to buy Dallas Goedert. Now, obviously, when he scores a touchdown tonight, that's not going to help matters, but I'm still trying to get Dallas Goedert where I can. I think he's the future at tight end for them. I don't think it's Zach Ertz. I think that the Eagles are going to have salary cap issues, and Ertz is going to be one of the guys that they're like, you know what? We already have Goddard. Like, he can fill the role. Sorry. Peace out. Peace out, Ertz. So that would be the move there. I mean, Zach Ertz has one catch for 14 yards. Goddard has 4 for 69 and a touchdown on 4 targets. Ertz has 4 targets as well. 2 for 38 now for Ertz, mind you. You know, in this one, Miles Sanders, he's got 7 touches for 26 yards. I still believe in the talent in Miles Sanders. Jordan Howard has 11 carries for 50 yards. And a couple catches. I'm still going after Miles Sanders. He's a strong, strong buy for me. I like Miles Sanders quite a bit. I unfortunately invested a lot in redraft in him, and that hasn't helped me. But in Dynasty, strong buy for Miles Sanders. Not worried about it at all. I think that he's going to be a great, great pro running back. Jordan Howard's a free agent at the end of the year. I don't know that they signed him. They do apparently like him, but I think Sanders is the future. So that's what I'm going to tell myself when I send out offers for Miles Sanders every single week, and hopefully acquire him in a few leagues if I can. Man, that's going to do it for me. Solo podcasts, not as easy as they sound. You know, you got to talk for almost an hour straight. You got to take a water break in between because your throat is so dry. You got to know all this information. It's an arduous task. I hope you had enjoyed it. I know it's going to be weird listening to this podcast with only one person talking the whole time. Give me some feedback. If you like what you heard, tweet at DHH Pod or Dynasty Happy Hour, whichever one it is. You can tweet at me at The Fantasy Father. I hope you enjoyed it. If you like what you heard, I also do a solo podcast that comes out every Friday. It's called Guru Game Guidance. You can find it on the Trophy Time podcast feed, which is the main podcast that me and my co-host and brother-in-law, Joshua Trotta, do every week. Guru Game Guidance, I break down every game, starts, sits, what I expect from the players, what you should expect from your players on a weekly basis. Been some really good hits this year, just putting it out there. So if you like that kind of content, you know, it is dynasty relevant because you are starting a lineup every week. So make sure you check that out. Again, it's on the Trophy Time pod feed. It comes out every Friday. Usually around lunchtime is when I have Guru Game Guidance done as my other solo pod. So please check it out and support that. Also support Dynasty Happy Hour. Of course, go on the website. Check out all the cool things that are coming out every week. There's articles on Dynasty Happy Hour. You can make your own rankings, which is one of the only sites that I've seen that on where you can do it for free. Make your own Dynasty rankings. Compare it to five or six of the other experts that we have on Dynasty Happy Hour. And please, please, please check out Trophy Smack and use code DHHRING. You heard it at the top of the show. Use code DHHRING to get yourself a free $60 value championship ring when you order that trophy. We're over halfway done through the season. So if you're thinking about getting a trophy, please go on Trophy Smack. They got some of the best in the business, whether it's a trophy that you want, it's a ring, it's a belt, all sorts of cool customizable. I should know that word. Customizable options on Trophy Smack. So please check them out. It looks like we're going to have more people on the podcast next week. It won't just be me, I promise. I'm going to be gone next week. I'm actually going to the Patriots-Browns game here in Gillette. I got some tickets through my wife's work, so I'm pumped about that. So I'm not going to be able to make it back in time to record. So you won't hear me next week. So you've gotten your fill of Doug for 2 weeks. So I'm going to leave it at that. It's going to be Tim, Tyler, or Justin, some sort of amalgamation of those three guys next week. So thank you for joining me again. Once again, Doug Eddy at The Fantasy Father on Twitter. Peace and chicken grease. I hope you enjoyed. I've said that 5 times already. Let's get on with it, Doug. We're going to close the show out. Thank you for joining me on Dynasty Happy Hour. The guys will be back next week, and I will be hopefully rooting against the Cleveland Browns.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.